This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
And welcome to another episode of Queen City Nerves News Hounds podcast. I am Ryan Pitkin, as always, your host. And today I have a guest with me that I'm really excited to hear a lot more about, hear a lot more from. It's Joy Mayo, president of the Kings Creek Association down in Southwest Charlotte, longtime community advocate for the nation's Ford Arrowwood area. How's it going, Joy?
It's going well, thanks.
Absolutely. I'm really happy to have you on. There was an event that you held, a public engagement event last month in March, sort of centered on this parcel of land that you all are trying. Well, we'll talk more about that, but it was something that I really was trying to get to and interested in reporting on. And then I couldn't make it. Something came up. I remember that happening last month and being sort of bummed. And then you wrote me again just saying, well, could I do an op-ed? And I said, well, why don't you just come talk? why don't you just come talk about it? I was just getting back from vacation this week and I needed a podcast guest. And I thought, this is perfect. So I'm really sort of excited to hear about some of the community organizing efforts going on down there in the nation's Ford area. We're talking 28273, 28210, 28217.
Exactly.
Did I miss anything?
No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys have like I'm never going to be the guy who's going to try to push a nickname on something, like start making you call Nations Ford NAFO or something. Is there anything you refer to, just call it Nations Ford, the Ford?
No,
that might be
but
taken
I
by
like
Beatty's
that.
Ford. I don't know.
Yeah. No, we don't really have a nickname. We mostly just say Nations Ford Arrowwood Corridor.
Okay.
Really just hitting that intersection of Nations Ford Arrowwood is just a lot of activity, a lot of, great stories, a lot of businesses that are there, small businesses, immigrant-owned businesses.
Absolutely. And we're going to get very deep into that. And some of the more, at least I've become more aware of your community organizing down there. It seems like you all are stepping up and really trying to get the attention of elected officials, community leaders. And it's working. It worked on me anyway. And now we're here talking. So before we get into that, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in Charlotte. Have you always been in Charlotte? How you became a community advocate over on that side and just sort of how you got to be here.
Yeah. So I actually went to Elon University. My aunt lives in Charlotte, so I was familiar with Charlotte, just visiting for the holidays. I actually did Teach for America, and then I did Teach Charlotte. So that brought me here teaching.
Where are you from?
I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so not too far from here.
My fiance is from Norfolk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Super close.
Yeah.
I love the DMV kind of area. So I came down here to teach. I actually bought my house through HUD's Good Neighbor Next Door program, which helps public servants, so teachers, firefighters, police officers, and EMTs to purchase homes. So they only have to pay half of the list price, and they only have to put 1% down. So, that can be a game changer for so many people, particularly public servants, when you think about them not being really paid based on, their education. I have a master's degree, and, living in Charlotte is still a struggle.
Yeah.
So it was just
a great
opportunity.
The professions that should be paid but aren't.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's just a great opportunity to actually be able to purchase a home, to be really part of a community. And part of the reason for HUD's Good Neighbor Next Door is really to have public servants live in the communities where they serve. And I really took that tagline, Good Neighbor, to heart.
Oh, HUD's Good Neighbor.
HUD's Good Neighbor Next Door program.
Okay.
It's not as big as it used to be because of the housing market.
Yeah, but I haven't heard much of it.
Oh, it's a great program. I haven't heard much either, which is unfortunate.
Right.
Because, people need to be able to get into homes and particularly those professions.
Yeah. So that's where you bought your house in Kings Creek?
Yeah.
And when about was that?
So I've lived in Kings Creek for about 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 8-9 years.
And how quickly have you always sort of been very community community involved, engaged with the process of just anything? I mean, we're talking President Kings Creek Association. Is that just something that you sort of naturally attracted to, or was there something about the experience of living there that made you want to get more active?
I think it's probably a combination of both. Prior to living in Charlotte, I lived in Charleston, and my master's thesis is actually on the positive effects of a small Black Catholic school mm-hmm. and how Black parents were able to use that to catapult their children to upper middle class standards or economic standing by being able to go to college, mm-hmm. which was something that had previously been denied them. So that school started right after the Civil War mm-hmm. by the Oblate Sisters of I cannot remember their whole name, but Oblate Sisters. It's a predominantly African-American group of nuns and really just providing that service. So I think that's kind of where it started for me, just really seeing the impact that, you know, an organization can have on a community, a positive organization and a positive effect on the community. And then when I bought a home, you know, you start getting all these rezoning notifications and this notification, you're like, what's going on?
Right.
And I think it just made me more vested in the community. But also, you know, when you're walking around your community and you're seeing things, you're like, why is it like this? Like, what's going on with these issues? And you ask enough questions and people are like, well, you know, would you like to join us? Right. I would. So that's kind of how it started for me, just having the opportunity to kind of be part of the solution and being the change that I want to see in my community. It's kind of where it started with Kings Creek. And then I've kind of branched out from there.
Well, let's give it some context here, because I don't want to come in here and paint the negative, because I think we're here to talk about the positive values of this community as just as much as anybody a little bit further to the east. But this could just come straight from your presentation for context, but just low percentiles in these three zip codes in housing cost and income and pollution and traffic proximity, traffic volume. We'll call it linguistic gap of of the amount of kids not speaking English as a first language. How quickly did you sort of learn within your eight years there that this is an underserved community in terms of the resources it's getting?
Pretty fast.
Or the way elected leaders maybe or officials are paying attention to it.
I definitely noticed that very fast. So around the time that I moved to Kings Creek, I also started working at a school that feeds into my neighborhood. So not only was I living in the community, but I was working with the kids in the community and the parents.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So I really started to be able to see what the challenges were because, you know, you're seeing it firsthand, people trying to navigate the system, particularly, you know, people who English isn't their first language. You know, it's hard trying to understand the intricacies of, you know, CMS and just, you know, local government. Even for me, I'm like, wait, the difference between the city and the county, Charlotte-Mecklenburg, I mean, it can be so confusing.
It is, yeah, right.
Yeah, for the average person. And I don't think that officials are always thoughtful of that. And I think sometimes, particularly where I live, you know, I myself had the same experience working two or three jobs trying to get by as a teacher. You know, I worked at Home Depot for 3 years as a part-time job while teaching. And I mean, I'm sure that was a reality for most of my neighbors as well. You know, we're working class people just trying to get by, regardless of our education. You know, it's still difficult to get by in Charlotte.
I think journalists can always relate.
Exactly.
I mean, I was college degree and was driving Uber Eats up until about a year ago just to try to supplement. And so tell me just a little bit about your community now, not focusing on those percentiles, but just what it is that sort of sticks with you, in being there that is unlike, you know, we have a lot of people call Charlotte, there's two different cities. I like to say, especially after I started driving Uber Eats, however long ago, it was like, it's apparent when you deliver to every single piece of Charlotte that it's really more like eight cities.
Yeah.
And what it is about that sort of corridor that really sticks with you, that attracts you and makes you sort of proud to be there.
Well, I mean, I love Nations Ford Arrowhead. I think we have so many positives. And that's something I always try to remind people, that we don't want to just focus on the negatives. We have such a vibrant, small business immigrant population in that area. I know we talk a lot about Central Avenue.
Everybody brings up Central.
We
talk
always
about
bring
it.
That up. But I mean, there are so many immigrants who live and work in Nations Ford Arrowhead area and corridor. And I think that's underrepresented. And also South Boulevard. So I mean, that whole kind of area, I think is kind of up and coming, and so many great businesses. We actually had a strategic meeting today, a core group of leaders for our upcoming city council meeting that we're going to be convening on April 22nd. And we talked about, what are some of your favorite places over there? People talked about Romeo's. People talked about mm-hmm. Compare Foods. I really like Sumac Coffee. Mm. And all of those organizations are, many of them are immigrant owned. Mm-hmm. So I just think really highlighting the fact that, you know, people can get ahead over there. Rent is relatively low. And, you know, we patronize businesses in our community, which mm-hmm. I think is really a great opportunity.
Right, definitely. And is that, do you find that difficult in terms of getting engagement from folks when you're holding meetings like that, when you know that, that there's such a language gap between certain communities?
Yeah, and I think that's mm-hmm. something we have to be really, really thoughtful mm-hmm. of. So we try to always have Spanish translations at the bottom of our meetings. Mm-hmm. We had people there who could translate as well. Mm-hmm. Just being really intentional. So when we do our flyers, we make mm-hmm. sure that we have Spanish as well. But Spanish isn't the only language that's
right. exactly. yeah.
or spoken in that area. So it's so many ways that we just want to make sure we're eliminating barriers because we want everyone to be able to participate. We don't yeah. want people to feel excluded because, you know, of a language barrier. Mm-hmm. And that any I would even say with youth, like we, yeah. that's something we really want
that's
to do a better
job. That's a gap in itself.
Yeah, like how do we get young people involved? Mm-hmm. How do we get them to care? And that's what I'm really hoping this conversation about this parcel is going to help.
Right.
Because this would directly impact them positively, give them a safe place where they can, you know, congregate and have fun. Whereas now, I know in my neighborhood, we don't really have any communal space where mm-hmm. kids can actually play. And kids are playing in parking lots.
Right. So let's talk about this parcel. You mm-hmm. set the segue up for me.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So this is what I was talking about, the meeting that you held last week and so have been organizing around. And I think it's a perfect little microcosm of mm-hmm. the bigger things that you all are trying to do in terms of letting the community have a say in the way, you know, the growth is coming mm-hmm. regardless. And so this is 7600 England Street. For people who really want to get wonky with it, it's parcel number 205-171-125. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what is city owned right now?
It is city owned.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's city owned. And is there a rezoning coming up or what was it that kicked you guys into action and said, we want something here?
So we were actually alerted about this parcel being donated to the city about mm-hmm. 3 years ago. So I was a former president of a coalition of neighborhoods mm-hmm. in the Nations Ford Airwood area SWAN or Southwest Area Neighborhood Coalition. Mm-hmm. And we were told actually by our police liaison at the time, hey, you know, this parcel was just, you know, given to the city. Who's to say what may happen here? And if you want some say in it, y'all need to start, you know, right. really engaging. Mm-hmm. And at the time, when I was president, we started sending emails to city council. And one of our main requests was, hey, we want to be part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we were told that we were going to be by, you know, Mayor Vilas and mm-hmm. our then city council rep, Victoria Watlington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that, you know, they have a lot going on and we have mm-hmm. to continue to remind them, hey, we want a seat at the table.
Right. So this is a 3 years long process.
Yeah.
And is there anything right now newly, like a decision coming up of any sort? Or are you guys just taking the initiative and saying, we're coming to city council, we're going to start bringing this up more and more?
Yeah, it's pretty... We decided we needed to be more proactive. Mm-hmm. So first conversations was that they were thinking of putting a police branch there, kind mm-hmm. of division. And, you know, we hear lots of conversations at HOA neighborhoods about, you know, crime. You know, Nations Ford Arrowwood is a hot spot for crime. So mm-hmm. it's top three in violent crimes in the city of Charlotte. So we do recognize that, yes, you know, we do need support. My fear about putting it at that particular parcel is over-policing Black and brown communities. So I just want to make sure. Yeah.
I would let you say it because I was like, I don't want to. Well, you don't need a police station there.
Yeah. I think that's partly why we're having part of these conversations mm-hmm. is we can be thoughtful, more mm-hmm. thoughtful of how we're developing our city and our community so that we don't just need to police people.
We saw what happened in front of Bojangles just a few blocks over. It was not very far.
Yeah, not at all.
You're right. So what are some other options that you heard before you all? We're going to get into what you've heard community feedback-wise mm-hmm. and what you'd love to see there, but what were some other options that you've heard other than the police station?
So we've heard... mixed use. Mm-hmm. We've heard about like commercial space, affordable housing. We've requested that, you know, if they put for rent affordable housing, we also give a a pathway to affordable home ownership. Mm-hmm. We want to be really thoughtful, particularly when we're talking about Black and Brown communities. We know a lot of these corporate landlords and corporations mm-hmm. are mostly buying in Black neighborhoods. Right.
And sitting on it and waiting. Yeah.
It's to me, it's predatory. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan
100%.
Of it. And it's keeping the average person from being able to purchase a home.
Mm-hmm. And well, how big is this parcel?
It's 15 acres.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, bigger than I thought looking at the map.
The city mm-hmm. definitely got a win. So this is actually two parcels that the city received in a donation.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about what you heard at the March meeting. You've already followed up, had a session today. Mm-hmm. What have the community been telling you in terms of community needs?
Yeah, the community is really just stressing the fact that for 40 plus years, they've asked for recreation centers for our young people. We know that that area has a large percentage of young people. So as we're, you know, thinking about growth in our city, are we providing places for our kids to play where, you know, they can feel safe? Are we actually having conversations with them about what they want in their neighborhoods? Mm-hmm. Or are we just telling people, oh, this is what we're going to do? And I'm just not a fan of that in general.
Right. Yeah. And what would you, I mean, in an ideal world, we give you a magic wand or put you at the planning table. What sort of things do you want to see at a rec center, community hub?
Well, we definitely want to see basketball courts, mm-hmm. soccer fields, a playground. Part of our conversation today was a skate park. I thought that was unique.
That'd be awesome.
I like the idea of that. Yeah. We talked about pickleball and an outdoor amphitheater.
Mm.
But one thing we also really wanted to highlight is some of the great work of nonprofits that are in our community. Mm-hmm. Like Our Bridge for Kids has recently moved or created a division in Southwest Charlotte to mm-hmm. meet the needs of the community. Seeing
awesome.
That, you know, a lot of people in their community, recent immigrants, were having to travel all the way to East Charlotte in order to receive the support they need from Our Bridge. So mm-hmm. they created a branch in Southwest Charlotte, which
That's
is great.
Amazing.
Really being intentional about mm-hmm. what is the community saying and meeting those needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working with SIL from Our Bridge to really kind of support that. And then Urban League's Alternatives to Violence mm-hmm. program is also in the area. So we would like the city to subsidize the rent mm-hmm. for those nonprofits in that mixed use.
Oh, to sort of
use.
Give them center?
Yeah, give them a
space,
center.
I mean.
Particularly for Our Bridge for Kids and with our ATV program. So mm-hmm. I'm part of the Urban League's Young Professionals, mm-hmm. and we're really trying to do a better job of engaging with young people, giving them space and opportunities to talk and to play and mm-hmm. have joy. I mean, I don't think they need to be sitting on video games all the time. Give mm-hmm. them a chance to be outside.
And social media.
Exactly. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely.
Leads to so much of the
strife and CMS.
Yeah.
And they can't develop all of that parcel. Mm-hmm. We've been told 7 acres are undevelopable for like actual like buildings mm-hmm. because it's marshy there. So that's why I'm like, this could be the perfect pocket park.
Yeah, green space.
Yeah, green space to really give people an opportunity mm-hmm. to really be able to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have some area parks nearby, but sometimes they're so wooded. Would I feel comfortable, you know, being in some of those mm-hmm. spaces, especially when we talk about our young people? One thing I really love about Nations Forward is so walkable.
Right.
So we have great sidewalks. Mm-hmm. My window for when I work from home actually is directly toward Nations Forward, Arable, so I can see people walking up and down. Mm. And that's part of my exercise. I'll walk to the light rail, the silver rail, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there's so many great opportunities that people were already utilizing, you know, this space. We talk about 10-minute cities, mm-hmm. being able to walk, ride, you know, a scooter or a bike, all these things. Nations Forward already has all those. We have bike lanes.
CLT First, that's spelled CLT1ST. It's a refreshing new podcast of Charlotte people, by Charlotte people, for Charlotte people.
No bots, no AI, just real human voices. We call it news for people who are so over local news.
We work with natural allies, all locally owned, like the Charlotte Ledger, Queen City Nerve, Charlotte Post, and many others.
We're all about local, local, local with minimal murder and mayhem. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Instagram.
Change your morning routine with us.
CLT First.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.
I didn't mention this up top, but I just, because I didn't know until you walked in, we mm-hmm. were chatting a little bit, that your full-time gig is with Trees Charlotte. So you're a big green space person already. What brought that on? Is that a lifelong passion?
Or working with green space? Yeah, I mean, I just...
environmentalism in general, I guess. Trees.
I think partly with that. Well, with Tree Charlotte, I actually learned about Tree Charlotte from my work with Kings Creek.
Okay.
So the city actually sent a newsletter. Do you have open space? And I said, yes, I do. Yeah, I have a lot of open space in Kings Creek. We have this hill that I really couldn't do anything with. We wanted to put maybe a community space there, but it's so steep. We just couldn't do anything mm-hmm. with it. And I thought, that'd be great to put trees there instead of mowing that mm-hmm. all the time.
Right.
So actually, before I worked with Tree Charlotte, I actually did a community woods program with Tree Charlotte and planted with Kings Creek. So we planted 33 trees in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. And then I became a staff member.
Yeah. You must have something stuck with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a great opportunity. I think that it was a great way for members of the community to kind of have conversations. I know sometimes when I'm just walking around, people are like, oh my gosh, those trees look so great because mm-hmm. I can see them from my window. People can see them from their backyards. It's a great conversation starter mm-hmm. to really help people build a sense of community.
Right.
So I think it's been a real blessing, and we're planning to do another tree planting, actually, with Tree Charlotte, because we haven't finished filling up that hill yet.
Well,
I would really like not to mow that. It's
right,
not only expensive, but we can be thoughtful of pollinators, rain gardens, just being thoughtful of how we utilize space instead of just turf.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
That doesn't benefit
right.
anyone.
And that sort of... Well, I feel like we didn't really finish the conversation about mm-hmm. the parcel completely. Are you, as someone who works with youth, through Urban League, are mm-hmm. you involved directly with ATV?
I am. I'm actually on ATV's advisory council
okay.
for Nations Forward.
Mm-hmm. So that's the newer, that's sort of the newest core hub. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the newest spot between, Beatty's Ford's been going a few years, and then I believe Nations Forward and West Boulevard sort
same
of launched
time.
Around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say... I know that this is sort of a very long game.
It is,
so I don't expect you to sit here and tell me stats or anything, but mm-hmm. just from someone who's actually on the ground, what has the experience been so far?
I mean, we've been really impressed mm-hmm. with what the ATV team has been able to do. Not only do they show up to our meetings mm-hmm. That we're having and have really great insight as people who've lived in the community, who are from the community. Now, I haven't even lived in Nations Ford Arrowwood for 10 years, mm-hmm. but I think hearing their perspective is super helpful,
right.
particularly when we talk about the lack of resources in Nations Ford Arrowwood. You know, they always bring up, you know, we've been wanting a rec center for 40 years or mm-hmm. talking about Victory Christian Center, they said, used to have Super Sundays or Super Saturdays. I'd love to learn more about what was that? Is that a great opportunity for young people to kind of go? They have so much space to kind of have fun. I just think mm-hmm. so many times we're so isolated
right.
as a community, and I would love for us to kind of be able to get back together.
Mm-hmm. And what do you find speaking to youth? You know, we've seen youth involved in more violence throughout mm-hmm. the city, not just in your corridor, and you work directly with some of these kids. And is there, you know, there's times in city council when they talk about where ATV could work and where mm-hmm. it couldn't. They say Sugar Creek is called transactional crime, most of what they find there. And then in places where they put ATV is called community violence. And they sort of divide the two up between that. But when you refer to community violence, that's still a broad word. Mm-hmm. When you're working directly with kids, is there anything that you found that, you know, maybe making a difference or is a big community need or a resource that's not around that could make a big difference in terms of, I always say less guns. Everyone talks about gun mm-hmm. violence without bringing up but I mean, there's also the police. The last thing I want to do is just take their word mm-hmm. for it, but they do bring up a lot of the times they find that it's social media leads to arguments escalating mm-hmm. far more than it used to.
Yeah.
Are there things that stick out to you in that sense that you feel like people need to get a grasp on?
I definitely think what you're saying exactly with mm-hmm. social media, even as a former teacher with mm-hmm. CMS and living in the community where I serve, I just feel like a lot of things that started on social media bleed into the school and then they bleed mm-hmm. into the community. And it's just a vicious cycle. And instead
right.
of I just think the social emotional learning of our kids is really lacking, like being able to have conversations, empathize with one another. I think that so often they're so consumed with, you know, looking tough and ego that a lot of just working through issues is really
conflict
lacking.
Resolution.
Yeah, conflict resolution is very much, I mean, I can just see a difference. I've taught for 11 years from when I first started teaching to now. You know, I remember kids, you know, pulling each other off when they're fighting. Now it's like, oh, let me put this on my camera. I got to take my camera out and record.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't. It's unfortunate because
everybody's showing out.
Yeah, everybody's showing out. Everybody wants to look cool. And then it keeps us from being able to do the fun stuff that we want to do when we're so consumed with, you know, we're trying to manage the negative behaviors. There's so many positive things that the kids could be doing instead.
Right.
But I think us as adults, we need to really kind of step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, challenge some of our churches in the area to be really intentional. You know, how can we get out in the community and involve our young people, and what do they like to do? How can we have, you know, I'm really hoping to play in a kickball tournament this summer, or, you know, or a field day for young people. I know at the last school I taught at, we didn't have field day for the last couple of years. I mean, that was
field
what
day
I
is the best.
Yeah, that's what I looked forward to
right.
the most in school. And I think as a teacher, that gives you something to talk to the kids about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, remember when that person like dodged that, like that ball
or
dodgeball?
Yeah.
I just think it's unfortunate that we're not thoughtful about our interactions with kids and how we can build relationships based on joyful moments in play.
Right. Yeah. And one connection I did not make when we were first emailing until I was prepping for this earlier today is the Archdale Park thing. My fiance was sort of running the community engagement aspect of that. I think it's ARPA funds that are coming in. The funding that's coming in for improvements there. So I went with her down just to walk through and take a look at it. How involved have you been in that process? Are you nearby?
Yeah, we're actually very close to Archdale Park. So when I was the president of SWAN, that was one of the concerns that the residents of Montclair South, which is pretty much surrounds Archdale Park, was there were quite a few concerns. The fact that, you know, I understand it's supposed to be a neighborhood park and they didn't want to put parking, but we said, hey, you know, the Archdale was a busy street. When you look at the stats, like there are a lot of accidents there and you think people want to really cross Archdale, like people were, you know, we know how people speed in Charlotte. So we asked them, hey, can you build a parking lot? The answer for many years was no. They actually started taking that feedback. So definitely have to give props to the team at Montclair South. Al Peace, who the former president who recently passed away, he and his wife have really led that effort and kept, you know, the needs of Montclair South in the forefront of Parks and Rec. So they've done a really great job, and his wife continues to work.
Right. And now that they're sort of moving on this, what are some of the things that you would like to see there other than parking?
At Archdale Park?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely would like some parking. We want them to be thoughtful of so the park where they actually, like the playground equipment by the park was a bit outdated, so we were asking them to update that. They had some community sessions where they received feedback about what the residents wanted. So they said they were going to thin out some of the trees too. So you have sight line.
And I know that you do not like that, but it is noticeable how it's sort
it's
of
very
enclosed.
Dense,
it's very enclosed. So you might not know that you're even walking by a park.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they talked about how underutilized that park was previously. And I think, you know, I'll give Parks and Rec definitely credit for listening to the pieces and other members of Montclair South really saying, listen, like this is an issue. And that was something we brought up with SWAN as well, that please listen to us. There's a reason people aren't going to that park. They don't feel safe. And I think, you know, that's important. So I think the city, you know, can and the county can continue to have those conversations with people, but you have to meet people where they are.
Right.
You can't just expect everyone to come to the government center.
Right.
That's not feasible for everyone. Everyone doesn't know where the government center is, particularly when we talk about our immigrant population, which there's a large in Montclair South as well. Some people may not feel safe going into a government building, thinking about like their immigration status. So, I mean, I just think there's so many things to take into consideration that we have to be more intentional with that the city and the county. And I keep harping on that. And I said that in a LinkedIn post, I think, about something the city was doing. But, you know, really having conversations like with advocates like Sil from Our Bridge for Kids. She knows this community. She can give some feedback. And really, I just don't think having stuff at the government center is always productive.
Yeah, Sil's great. If I ever have reporting to do in that community, Sil's one of two people that I will, or three, I guess, that I would call immediately and just say, is this something that, I don't know, what are your thoughts on this? Because she's just a great connector in general.
She is.
Mm-hmm. And what have they, when did they open their center there in Southwest Charlotte?
I think it's only been about a year.
Okay.
So they're actually doing a, they're opening their new office.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're having a party maybe 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Our Bridge throws a party.
Yeah.
You always go to one of their community events because it'll be the best food ever and all sorts of,
It's range. Been really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working with a local school in the area to provide after school programs and support for kids, but also, you know, helping the population of people in that community to access services. I think sometimes, which I know that the county actually is creating a community resource center on Nations Ford. You know, they say they're going to break ground in 2025.
Is that the, no, I think that's in Uptown. The Umbrella Center? Oh, yeah. That is. That's on Nations Ford.
They're going to be building one.
Okay.
There's, so it's going to be across from E.E. Waddell. So they purchased that land about 3 years ago. A lot happened when I first became president of Swan. So, yeah, they're going to put a community resource center there and a library, which is something they've been advocating for a lot. But I will put a plug that I would love the county, and I've talked to some people in Parks and Rec about this, about putting the next regional rec center, south one should be coming soon, by Nations Ford Airwood. So we have Ramblewood Park, which is underutilized right now. It used to, it's a huge soccer complex that used to receive a lot of used to have a lot of tournaments, and there was a program based out of there. But they left actually about 3 years ago, and now pretty much underused. Like people were not using nearly as much. And when I talked with someone from Parks and Rec, I said there was additional space over there to potentially put a rec center. So that's going to be our next ask after this parcel. Yes, this parcel would give some great opportunities for like a pocket park.
Right.
But I think having a regional rec center.
A big daddy, like the Eastway one.
That would be great. And I think with Nations Ford Airwood, we're kind of in the, right in the corner of everything. Like we're not far from Loso. We're not far from Ballantyne. We're not far from Steel Creek. Everything kind of conjoins of this one area. And then it
Well, I wrote here and I don't know what to do with this in a conversation, but I wrote here, it's literally on the border of the Crescent and Wedge.
It is.
I guess it's where Ballantyne ends or just South Charlotte, what you would call South Charlotte. It turns into Southwest Charlotte. And then it's just physically where you see all those maps start to differ. But like I said, I don't know any point to make on that, but it's something to definitely consider. And like I noticed in your presentation, you mentioned that for some reason, this was not included in corridors of opportunity. Have you heard feedback as to why that is? Did you guys, was the communication when that was being chosen or selected?
Yeah. So we had a lot of concern about that when that first came out. And we saw that Nations Ford Arrowwood was not on there, despite the fact that demographically we have all the same challenges. We have the problems with violence, language barriers, low income, education, pretty much everything. We were told by our then elected official that we didn't have a playbook. So unlike some other communities, we didn't have a playbook created, which is why we weren't included.
Right.
And I think that's unfortunate because I don't think that's fair because not everyone has a wherewithal to create a playbook about how they want their community to be developed. Everyone doesn't have the connections to kind of figure out how to navigate that kind of huge endeavor about going parcel by parcel and, you know, block by block.
Right. I remember seeing some of the meeting or attending virtually some of the meetings on Albemarle Road where they were putting their playbook together. Was there was there like an, I don't know, was there any word passed to you that that's what will be needed at some point? If you, like, I don't know, before Corridors of Opportunity, you can't just show up and say, well, you guys don't have a playbook on the ready?
Exactly. That's really not fair.
Yeah. Well, do you feel, it feels at least, and I think this, if this is the case, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it feels like there's progress in terms of people paying attention. And I would venture to credit you and you and the community members you've been working with for that. But is that accurate?
I definitely think we're building momentum. Mm-hmm. We're talking to the right people. You know, I've talked to several county commissioners this week about this parcel because our demand is that the city donate parts of the parcel to the county.
Park and Rec.
Park and Rec. So we've said, give it to them for a dollar. You're giving developers parcels for a dollar now.
Sure.
Let's be intentional and thoughtful and use some intergovernmental kind of conversations about the need, meeting the needs of our community. So that's our first ask. So on April 22nd at the public forum for city council, that's what we're going to be asking for.
Have you had an open line of communication with Tia, your new rep?
So yeah, we've definitely talked to her about it. She was at our March 19th event, very supportive. We're just trying to figure out how do we get, you know, 6 votes.
Right, right.
So definitely we're hoping that she'll continue to advocate for us, you know, those closed sessions that we can't be a part of. And really, you know, she knows plenty of people who live in Nations Ford, Arrowwood.
Right.
When she and I talked about it, she said one of her mentors lives there. So really hoping that she'll continue to advocate for us and encourage her colleagues to advocate for us,
right,
particularly when the city received that land for free.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's not costing you anything. And in fact, you know, you can't use part of the land anyway. You can't you can't develop housing on it or buildings.
Right.
So why not donate it back to the community? Why not use it to meet the needs of the community when this community has been, you know, begging for 40 years for support?
Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I think the best way to get towards that 6 votes, not that I'm any better of a community organizer than you are by any means, but I think if you guys show up April 22nd, that can be the hard part. It's actually what we were talking about with Renee Johnson on the last episode. Was just sort of like the people who show up at these meetings are the people who are well off enough to do so.
Exactly.
So I guess now your job is to organize to get people up there on April 22nd. I assume it's just an open public forum.
It is.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's the best way to sort of get that word out there and make all council members familiar with what you're trying to do. Awesome. I think it'll be great. And we're definitely going to be doing follow-up reporting on it and following the story as it occurs. But is there anything we haven't really touched on that you think is important to mention?
Well, this will definitely be ongoing. So we're still pretty new with community organizing at this level. So we did have our strategy session today about it. But we plan on being at many more city council meetings. We have working on a petition also to have residents of Mecklenburg County and the city of Charlotte to sign in support of our efforts. And we just need people's support on this.
Right.
I mean, when you look at the stats, they don't lie. This is something that's needed in the community. If you say you're about helping our young people, well, provide a space for the young people. All the lip service is not needed at this point.
Right.
We need some actual action.
It's been a while. Where can people go to sort of show their support or keep up with the keep tabs on what's going on?
Great question. So we're definitely working on some different social media platforms. Transforming Nations Forward is where people will be able to find our different platforms to really kind of plug in. So, you know, Instagram, Facebook for, you know, some of our other people in our community. So just really hoping people will use those platforms to continue to join us, to continue this dialogue about meeting the needs of the community. Not just the wants of the community, but the actual needs.
Right. Transforming Nations Forward. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on here, Joy. And we're going to be, like I said, following up on this throughout. And I think it's just one of those parts of the city that are really great and doesn't get the credit that it deserves. So I'm glad to see that you all really stepping up your outward community engagement and sort of not only community engagement inside the community, but community engagement as to getting the word out.
Thank you.
It definitely is important.
And we appreciate you giving us this platform to really talk about the challenges and also the positives for our residents. And we're excited to really transform Nations Forward and give everyone the opportunity for success and economic mobility. And part of that is making sure that we're listening to what people were saying. You know, there's so many great things about Nations Forward and really highlighting that. You know, we have a CPCC walking distance from kind of the intersection of Nations Forward, Arrowwood. We have, you know, great schools where people are doing, the teachers are doing the hard work. But we need to provide those wraparound services. And that right now is what's lacking.
Right. Awesome. Well, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Joy. And we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.